The king has a vision and he has a mission, so we just need to embrace Jesus' vision and his mission. We don't need to create something new. He's already given us his vision and mission. The outworking of that, there's certain things, maybe we say, well, we're called to do this, etc. Well, let me just unpack that a little bit more. In the second slide, the king's vision is to be a dwelling place for God's presence. He wants a people to be his dwelling place, right? A kingdom community formed and filled by the Spirit, revealing his glory, advancing his reign, awakening and transforming people, cities and nations, hence awake nations. We exist to see lives aligned with his will, communities renewed by his love. So you could say families there, however, individuals. And the earth filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just as in heaven. Now, this is not our vision, it's God's vision. So Habakkuk 2:14, Matthew 6:10, you know, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? Certainly, the fullness of that will not occur until Jesus returns. However, we are called to give a kind of a, it's like a video trailer, right? Movie trailer. You see, oh, okay. So you haven't seen the movie yet, but this is what it looks like. So it's a foretaste, a prophetic foretaste. What does it mean? That the things change. Do you know the world is actually becoming a better place to live in? Do you know that more people are coming to Jesus now than ever before in history? And we look at things, we go, it's so terrible, there's wars, there's this, and I get it, and that's bad. But the earth is getting better. And places that are seeing the kingdom of God advance, even though there's persecution and other things happening in certain parts, there's definitely a lot of good things happening in the world. And we just need to continue to pray. Our hope is not in the world. It's not in governments. It's in Jesus. Amen. So, but ultimately, we're called to be salt and light, right? All right, so next slide. You see his kingdom and will done on earth as it is in heaven. All right, kingdom mission. Disciple. Remember Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore make disciples of all the nations, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So the mission that Jesus gave us, we sometimes refer to it as commission, is to make disciples. In fact, in the New Testament language, there's only one word. So you'll notice it says make disciples in most modern translations, verse 19. In the Greek language, there's only one word, and it's literally this, disciple. and the emphasis, because it's in the imperative. So it literally means this, go, disciple nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and so on. Teach them to obey. So the participles are go, baptize, and teach. The imperative command is disciple. So the commandment is to disciple. The go, the baptize, and teach support the command. So how do we do the mission? We disciple by going, by baptizing them into the name of the Father, into the name of the Son, into the name of the Spirit. There's a video on our podcast, if you missed it, where we unpack this more. And then teach people what? Doctrine? No, to obey. So not just intellectual knowledge, oh, I know, you know, this particular doctrinal thing, formation theology is important, but if you don't obey it, right? It was always has a bias towards implementation. That's what discipleship always has, that bent or bias towards implementation. Jesus said, you're blessed if you not just hear, but do. So it's so important. So this is to follow Jesus fully. Next slide, please. And raise others who extend his kingdom. Raise up others who extend his kingdom as well. So we do that and we raise up others. Okay. Now, let's go to the slide, please. It says kingdom priorities. We could call these values. Some do. Kingdom culture values, they call it. So we just chose to say this is priorities. What do we prioritize? Okay. Now, this isn't a doctrinal statement. We have a doctrinal statement on our website. You can read that. again, that's not in, you know, exhaustive by any means, but it's on there. So priorities are kingdom priorities. So not chasing trends, we're anchored in his timeless truth. Our kingdom priorities are the blueprints for how we live, serve, and lead. Okay, so we live, serve, and lead because Jesus lived them first. All right, so number one is kingdom first. First priority is this, kingdom first. His kingdom is first. His kingdom is more important than religion. His kingdom is more important than your kingdom. His kingdom is more important than anything. Anything. It's more important than church. The church is part of the kingdom, and the church is to advance the kingdom as the ecclesia, but it's not about just the church, right? I mean, so ultimately his kingdom is greater. So it's about alignment, placing God's purpose above personal preferences, cultural trends, religious traditions, etc. Okay. Number two is hosting his presence. Really important that we learn not to grieve his spirit and carry his presence everywhere we go. So the opposite of hosting his presence is hindering his presence. So we don't want to hinder his presence. We want to host his presence. We want to live in a way in our individual lives, our families, our ministries, our church, that we actually do not hinder, quench, grieve the Holy Spirit, but we create space for his presence to be here strong. And he's welcomed. He's blessed. It's all about him. All right, number three is revival carriers. Carry the fire of revival into nations. Mission, living as spirit-empowered witnesses, releasing healing, renewal, awakening wherever we go. Okay. And then number four is transformative discipleship. Notice each one of these has an adjective in front of them. So it's not just carriers, it's not just presence, it's not just discipleship, but there's an adjective saying what kind of discipleship? Transformative discipleship. That literally transforms people into the likeness of Jesus. Discipleship isn't about what we know, but it's who we're becoming. Are we becoming more and more like Jesus? And yeah, Jesus, we grow in wisdom and knowledge. We grow and we know the word, absolutely. But you can know the word and still not be like Jesus, right? Pharisees, for example. So it's becoming more and more like him. I love Colossians 1:28. Paul says, him we proclaim that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And he also says in Galatians 4 that he labored in prayer for them that Christ would be formed in them. Right? So, yeah. And then supernatural life. What is supernatural life? That means that we live naturally, supernaturally. So, in other words, the supernatural is natural for us. We see miracles. We experience. When we pray, we expect God to answer. We see miracles. Sometimes miracles aren't, you know, they're more like a slow burn fire than fireworks, but it's still a miracle. Yeah. It could have been a prayer you've been praying, you know, like what Marty shared about what happened to him. That's a miracle. That's supernatural, right? It's not just, oh, well, we saw this person who got out of a wheelchair. That's amazing. We want to see that. But there's other miracles. So don't, you know, underrate anything. It's a miracle is a miracle, and we want to believe that when we pray, things happen. And when we live, when we move, when we touch, things are going to happen. Miracles are going to take place. And then the next one is kingdom family. Being family. Family where everyone is known and valued. This is about belonging, choosing covenant honor, and shared life over independence and isolation. So true family creates safe space for growth, healing, and calling. And then Ephesians 3:14 and 15 talks about from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, from the Father. Okay, next one is joyful generosity. We live open-handedly, giving joyfully and sacrificially, right? It's about stewardship, offering our time, our talents, a treasure for God and his kingdom. And generosity reflects our Father's heart. God so loved that he what? Gave. So when you love, you give. You give of your time. You listen to people. You sit down with people. You give, you know, your time to the Lord. It's not just money. You can give your money and not give God your heart. Right? And that's not an acceptable sacrifice at all. He's like, no, I don't want your money. I want you. Your money's an extension of who you are. Right? It can, but ultimately it's that. And then the last one is excellence always. This one too, I think, is very important. Excellence doesn't mean perfection. It doesn't mean, oh, if I stuff up or I make a mistake or, you know, I don't play that chord right or I stumble when I'm preaching or doing what's next or whatever. Oh, no, no shame. That's not it. But it means this. A big part of it is preparation. Yeah. Preparation. How do we prepare ourselves? Right? Do you know the Bible talks about those who succeeded and prospered before God as kings, for example? Yeah. It says because they prepared themselves. Yeah. They prepared themselves for the Lord. They prepared their hearts. It says things like that. You know, so we prepare. So worship, for example, play skillfully. Psalm 33:3, right? Sing unto the Lord a new song. Right? Play skillfully with a new song, right? Or a loud noise, actually. So skillfully. So how do we... Everything we do, we prepare. We do it as unto the Lord, and that's the most important thing. Yeah, so we want to give him our very best, right? Everything we do. We don't give him, you know, the leftovers. We give him the very best. And that's our time, our gifts, our finances, all of these things. We do our best to prepare. I get it. We have times when we just kind of, you know, don't have something happen, something comes up, but we try to prepare ourselves as much as we can. And I've noticed for me, can I say, you know, I probably preached, I don't know, not just hundreds of sermons now, thousands. And can I just tell you, it does get easier. Like, I can wing it. Like, I can literally get up and preach without any preparation. Okay. Why? Because I'm prepared here. Because I'm in the Word. I'm reading the Word. I'm processing the Word. I'm thinking about the Word. And yeah, and then it's not just like, oh yeah, I preached this before. No, it's not that. So when Lynn and I literally went to California a few months ago, part of that was to journey with this organization that has now partnered with us here to plant this church. One of the things, we had to go through a thorough assessment, which was online, but when we went to California and we were in San Diego, we went into a meeting. It was an all-day, eight-hour meeting, and they said, all right, Glenn, you're up next. Preach for us, 20 minutes. Do you know that's so intimidating? Firstly, you really didn't know, and then secondly, there's like six people in a room, in someone's lounge room. Stand up and preach. Yeah, and they're taking notes, and they're going to give you feedback. And so, but can I tell you that the presence of the Lord came in the room? I was like, yeah, the presence of the Lord came in the room. So, but what I'm saying is, no matter how experienced we are at whatever, let's not lose that edge, right? Let's keep preparing ourselves, keep growing, yeah, offering God the very best. And keep growing. All right, a few websites here. So the Awake Nations Australia website is awakeaus.com. Okay, videos, audio, events, et cetera, lots of stuff on there. Giving, podcasts, it's all on there. Okay, now there's another website, which is our ministry, awakenations.org, which is a lot of discipleship stuff on there. And you're welcome to access that. And yeah, there's a lot of teachings and different things on there as well. And then Kingdom Community TV, we launched an online television network in early COVID, and it's free. There's no charge. And you're welcome to download the apps, watch it online. There's kid stuff. There's stuff in multiple languages, there's disciples. All free. The Word with you guys. All right. Okay. Yeah, and by the way, our sermons here are both on Kingdom Community TV and on the Awake Nations YouTube channel. Okay, so just go to YouTube, it's on there, plus podcasts, right? Amazon, Spotify, Apple, etc. Okay, all right, so kingdom rhythms. What are kingdom rhythms? Here's some of the things we're going to be doing. And we've already talked about this. First Sunday lunch and equip discipleship. So basically after lunch every first Sunday, we're going to try, see how this goes, because everybody's here. Rather than necessarily try to bring us back in the evening, in the middle of the week, why don't we just make it the Lord's Day? Let's just do like Filipino style, okay? Right? Make it all day. Food, 8 hours, yeah, right?
Again.
Yeah, when we pastored in Perth, we had a Filipino congregation that used our venue, and every Sunday they had a meal. And it was like 6 to 8 hours of church they did after the service. So we'll start getting into some stuff and we'll share a little bit more about that. Third Sunday, 4 p.m. will be geared toward Holy Spirit revival. And also, we want to be intentional to attract other people. And look, we realize that not everyone either can come here on Sunday morning or likes coming here on Sunday morning. But everyone who's here on Sunday morning will continue to come on Sunday morning, as well as 4 p.m. on the third Sunday, right? Okay, it's only once a month. No, I'm kidding. No pressure. Yeah. This isn't an alternative service. This is an extra service, okay? This isn't like I think I'll go to that one. No, that's not the point of it. This is like, let's get together, encounter God, His presence, and we're hoping to reach different people, including younger people as well. Okay. The other thing is what we'll just call them kingdom encounters. What are kingdom encounters? They're essentially special events that we have from time to time. So, for example, we could do a kind of a retreat or more of a, we used to do it, we called it Freedom Encounter. All day Saturday, inner healing, walking free from stuff, and knowing your identity, et cetera, that kind of things like that. Holy Spirit encounters, different things that we're looking at from time to time. Okay, and then small groups will be forthcoming. By the way, you can hang out with whomever you want to, whenever you want to, get together. We talked about these discipleship training groups before, transformation groups. Do that, do what you want. Just don't teach false doctrine, that's all. But, no, I'm kidding, you guys. I'm not kidding, but. Kidding, not kidding, right? So, but no, seriously, I want to encourage, right? If you teach false doctrine, right? No, I'm kidding. I am completely joking. Everybody knows this. On the camera, please. Get this out. Right. Okay, so pray together. Yeah, do it. Do it, right? You don't need permission. You have permission from Him. So, yeah. I heard about that. Okay. First Sunday after launch, the discipleship thing, which is really going to be next level. It's going to be more of a school of ministry, okay? And we'll see what happens. But we want to do a few things. So we're going to call it Equip School. It's about three things: presence, position, and power. Presence is His presence. Position means your position in Christ, your identity in Christ, who you are in Christ, righteousness, understanding what it means to be a son, all of that kind of stuff. Power is being able to release His power. So it starts that way. We could also say it has to do with intimacy, identity, and influence. All right, so overview. God's calling us back to what really matters. Knowing Him deeply. Living confidently as His sons and daughters. And showing up in the world with real kingdom impact. It's about intimacy, identity, and influence. Nothing fake. Just Jesus. All right? It's very Gen Z sounding, isn't it? I actually used ChatGPT and said, write it as Gen Z. True story. Okay. All right, let's look at modules. So here's, we actually put this up, okay? So July, knowing the Father's heart, that's what we're going to do. Guys, if we don't know the heart of the Father, I don't care how many books you've read on the fatherhood of God, sometimes we want to do something that imparts that as well, okay? So knowing the heart of the Father, August, the secret place, a breakthrough, power and authority. So how the secret place works to give you breakthrough. Look, his house should be called a house of prayer. Right. Secret place. We have to be a people in the secret place. We have to know how to linger, pray, go deep in the secret place. Right? And you can tell when people in a spiritual family, a church, a community are praying people. Because when they come together, just blows up. It overflows, right? Remember David said this? King James says, my heart indicteth a good matter. The other modern translations say, I don't know why I quoted the King James. It just sounds cool. Indicteth a good matter. Like, that's cool. But the other translation said, my heart overflows with a good theme. Okay, my heart overflows. And he said, my hand is like the ready, it's like the pen of a writer, right? And so what was he saying? The word in Hebrew means my heart's boiling over. So there's a place where I'm with him. And then when I begin to write, begin to lead worship, begin to serve or whatever, or worship collectively, it boils over. Yep. Last, yeah. And then new creation realities. That's thing. Probably in the 70s, there's so much incredible stuff in knowing who you are in Christ. I actually did. And they kind of were in new creation realities. So we're going to talk about all of those things. What does the Bible say? Who you are in Him. And then freedom and wholeness in October, which we'll probably do a freedom encounter that month.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, we'll do the freedom encounter. Board of directors is Wendy Hayes, who has an inner healing ministry. They're hosting the Australian Inner Healing Conference in Brisbane. And deal with. Sometimes we don't even realize stuff we've carried over from our past and, you know, trails or whatever's happened to us. We want people that are healed, people that are like free, yeah, broke, like all the stuff, the shame, the pain, the rejection, any of that stuff, just gone. Let's, amen? And then, in November, we want to do something early November, spirit empowered, then go on a mission.
Yeah.
Maybe to the not to New Zealand. That's not a mission trip. Well, it's too close. We need to go to a different culture altogether. Okay. So we're seriously wanting to do a mission trip. Okay.
Yeah.
And Philippines is a good place. It's not too hard.
Yeah.
Like, we won't go to some really, you know, like southern Mindanao or anywhere like that. We won't go there, but even though we have been there. But we'll go to somewhere where it's great. And we have lots of connections, lots of friends there. Go in, see the kids in the slums, poor areas. Go into the churches, pray, minister. We'll do a crusade. Yeah, when we do crusades, we typically have 1,000 people show up at least. Hundreds of people get saved. We do a basketball stadium, pack it up, share testimonies. You guys can all be involved. Share your testimony, lead worship. Yeah, preach, pray for people. Yeah, and it's amazing just to see what God does. Beautiful people, very tender and open to the Spirit. You better say that. all right, so yeah, December and January, yes, you can have a bit of a holiday there. How's that? Still do things. Yeah, not a holiday from Church of Jesus, but then February, March, April, May, June, we continue. A prophetic people, Feb, March, gifts, April, fivefold, and then kingdom influence. What's your place in the kingdom? What's your role? What areas has God called you? And then living sent. Shifting into basically understanding that you're a sent one.
Yes.
You're sent. Thinking differently, but what is it God's sending you into, right? I didn't say that this morning, but it's interesting that our calling, so when we, I mentioned this, I said, when we focus on what's my calling, rather than what's my kingdom community. So when Paul and Barnabas were in Antioch, Acts chapter 13, it was all about being part of that community, right? And out of that, in the context of that, Holy Spirit spoke, separate Saul and Barnabas into the work that I've called them to, and then you're sent. It happened in the community, in the context of community. Prophetically, God spoke to send them out. So you never know what's going to happen. But obviously, God knows when we're ready and available. So these are some of the things we're going to be looking at. And then, as was already mentioned, on the fourth Sunday of this month, 22nd, we have Michelle and Natalie Chevalier. They're originally from Montreal, Quebec, French Canadians. And they are have been living in France. And they were in the south of France for a few years and actually saw a revival breakout through their ministry in the south of France. So Michelle is, they have the, you know, they got this, the strong Canadian accent, plus the French on top of that. So it's, you know, but it, we'll be here Sunday afternoon ministering. Seasoned, travel all over the world, very prophetic, very gifted, humble, just love Jesus. So they're nice people. So yeah, they'll be here with us on that Sunday. And then, yeah, we've got other plans down the road, but we're always open to Holy Spirit, leaving gaps. Just, you know, what do you want to do, Lord? Surprise us, you know. But yeah. Okay, let's talk about Awake Nations launching. I said a few weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, that we were going to do a launch thing. Basically, it would be more of a public thing. Hey, this is who we are. We're here. And we originally talked about October, but I spoke with some people who are more wiser than myself, who know more about, than myself, and I was advised, you're rushing it. You're making it. It's too fast. Wait. And I said, yep, you're right. I was wrong. So we're going to wait till February. So what we want to do is we want to build culture, community, discipleship, and then even more people. So here's why do we want to wait till then? Well, obviously, you know, on that time of the year, September, October, and you get into November, maybe the first half of November, you get a little bit of momentum, then things start to slow down. So let's just wait, get through the holidays, back into Feb. Yeah. So basically that's it. And then let's, we're hoping and praying that the Lord will give us 60 to 80 people from now to February. 60 to 80 people that are all in, committed. We're going to pray for that. And when we do go to launch, which by the way, maybe somebody's already thinking, hang on a minute, where are we going to have services with 60 to 80 adults? I'm glad you asked. We don't know. But the Lord does. So, obviously, if we launch, this place is too small. So we're going to have to just trust Him for that. So February gives us a bit of breathing room as well to pray into that. Okay. So really, really important. And building strong, building community, seeing all of our ministry teams in place before we launch. Awesome kids ministry. Awesome full band worship. People praying, ministering, you know, all sorts of different teams in place, all that we need to be able to launch well. And we're not to 80 people, we're not going to try to just drag things out. There's no reason. We'll still celebrate what we have and who we have. And we'll let the community know this is who we are. But it's important, obviously, that we have certain ministries in place. Especially, like I said, kids is critical. We really need to do that well. And we don't want to burn people out. Not at all. We refuse to do that. So we just want to make sure that we're there. So there's a lot of good things I believe are going to happen, and that'll give us a bit of time to build stronger teams, clearer culture, deeper discipleship, and then greater long-term fruit. If we have ideally 120 plus people when we launch, that will help us to become self-sustaining more quickly. Keep in mind that, you know, the goal isn't just that, but we have to also recognize that in our culture today, even though we want to be those who change culture, certain things about culture that are not healthy, we still have to recognize not everyone's wired towards coming in and building. Right? I mean, that's the truth. Some people, for whatever reason, maybe they're too busy, but they want to come. They want to be part of it. It's all right. So we recognize that. But we want to ultimately create a strong group of people that are united, that are one. We have the teams. When we pray, when people come in, they go, oh my gosh, look at the unity. Look at these people. They're so amazing. I think we already hear that. We already hear that, people saying that. Even some of you guys have said, oh, there's unity. And so we recognize that, but we also recognize that, you know, we want to reach more. So more people, as many people as we can reach with the gospel. And and we're open to planting churches in the future. Generally speaking, first 3 years, this is it. This is our one baby. We focus on this. And that's just an interesting thing. It's not only scriptural, but it actually, in terms of church planting, I recommend you wait at least 3 years. So, but we want to do that. We want to send people out, be a people of mission, discipleship, encountering God. Really big on missions as well. Seeing people go to the nations, sending teams out, doing mission trips, all of that kind of stuff. And partnering with other ministries as well.